what God did this morning. Revelation demands response. A sermon's not a song. When God brings a word forth, it's not just for that hour. And it gets really difficult. Now, pastors and preachers, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been somewhere and God gives you a word for the body, and then 3 or 4 hours later, they give us another word, and there's no response to that word. I know we responded, but it's a continual. They continue steadfastly. Paul said, I know nothing else to preach to you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. I don't want to become a cheerleader and just inspirational deliverer of a message, because I absolutely believe that the word that God brought forth today, it can transform somebody's life. Amen. And I believe it is. We sometimes treat church, not this church, but sometimes we treat church like it's like we do food. You know, some of you just eat a little bit and you're content with that. But I've learned to, I can eat when I'm full. Bible says those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Amen. You got to treat church like a fat man treats food. Amen. I eat when I'm going to eat. Amen. I don't just staying in His presence is. I find myself people. You know, you talk about devotion, daily devotion. It's if you keep your mind stayed on Jesus, He keeps speaking to you. And He'll tell you stuff and take you places that you didn't know and you didn't know you was going to go to. But because of condition of a roadblock, or, you know, they shut off part of the road. And sometimes we just don't go because it's you can't treat this as casual salvation. It's not a casual God. Man, it's that first fruits, understanding that and making sure that we seek and understand the purpose. You can lose purpose of the mission even because of promotion. You could be put into something whenever there's, and it feels like increase, but when God, this is a word for somebody, but whenever decrease comes in your life, you start even questioning if God's there. You lose your praise because you lost your promotion. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The calling that He had on your life and the position He put you in, it all served purpose. It's not the ending. I heard Pastor talking to one of the brothers today and told him, said, you know, you're of more worth than you know. You have no idea that God's not done with you. Amen. I want to direct your attention to Leviticus 23 and 40. Agreed. I don't want to start saying names, but I just feel like we're just fam to some people now. I feel like I'm part of the family. I feel abused every once in a while, but so I know we're family. Leviticus 23 and 40. And ye shall take you on the first day. Somebody say the first days. The boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. He said, you take you on the first day. You allow me the palms and the willows, and you rejoice before your God 7 days. Amen. I want to preach for just a little bit on a message God has put in my spirit some time back. Put this verse in my spirit years ago, but palms and willows, palms and willows. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, knowing, God, that there's a task set before me. I pray, God, that you'll quicken my mind. remove myself from this, God, and allow you to speak to whoever it is you want to speak to, knowing that there's a work that you're doing that you started today that you will finish in the evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, and I thank you. You've been nothing but good to me. Hallelujah. My darkest hour, you've been nothing but good to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Passage of scripture that I've read to you is one that God put in my spirit, as I said, in troublesome time in my ministry, actually my walk, just not even with God, just in general. And as I reflect back over 20 years ago, of ministry, and at times that I was accepting, I look back at the time I was accepting my calling into ministry. I didn't know much about ministry, and I didn't know much about the message. I just knew that I was thankful for what God had delivered me from, and I finally felt a peace that I hadn't felt in some time. And just 2 weeks into this new life, that addictions and chains were broken. If my memory serves me correctly, God spoke into my spirit this passage. He told me through a man of God, if you're going to make it to the end, you're going to have a staying power. You're going to have to take your palms, and you're going to have to take your willows, and you're going to have to take your good times, and you're going to have to take your bad times, and worship me the first day. In everything that you do, you're going to have to become dependent upon me. You're going to have to continue to praise me in your good times, and you're going to have to praise me in your bad times. If you can take the good and the bad the first day and rejoice, you will be able to rejoice all 7 days. You give me your first day, and I will keep you all seven. I had no clue what that meant 20 years ago, but I tell you, over 20 years later, I have a much better understanding of that passage of Scripture, and understanding that there's been some tough times, and there's things that happened to you. And what I have found out, not everybody loves you. Even in the house of God, not everybody's for you. There's people that will their agenda is their success is your failure. Not here, but there are people that way. You know it on the workforce. Sometimes they'll make you stumble so they can step. And that happens. And I've seen it happen even in ministry and people that, and I want to say this that very strongly. I've developed a number of men. And if you have to tear somebody else down to build yourself up, you ain't up. Amen. Ministry is always about making somebody else better, serving somebody else, empowering somebody else. Amen or oh me. But I understand that not everybody and not everyone's going to love you. For that matter, there will be those, and they will come against you and try to destroy you. But you've got to learn to take your willows, and you've got to take your good times and your bad times. Everybody knows how to rejoice God when you got good things going in your life. You know when somebody's on vacation. You know when there's palm trees around. They're taking selfies with it. You know when somebody just got a check in the mail. Or they got a new truck. They park it right out front and with the sticker still on it. They find a reason to go get you or go take you somewhere. Amen? Well, boy, it's getting real quiet in here. Y'all ain't listening. I'm out of here. Somebody said I almost got shot for breaking off a tree. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You know, when somebody's testifying because they got something good going in their life. That's easy to praise God. That's easy to testify when everything's going good and there's no problems in your life. And there's no situations when everything's promotion and everything's pushed forward and overtime. I just heard somebody talking about overtime and how God, you know, we love that kind of time. But the Bible says, and I heard somebody just talking about this recently, you know, that God, we understand that darkness was before light. And God does his best work in darkness. And you're troubled sometimes. That's when it's in the testing time that God's going to tell you and make you what he wants you to be. That's when it's at those times. I find very disturbing that God delivers the children of Israel out of Egypt. He delivers them. They see miracles, sign, and wonder. Miriam's got her palm, and she's rejoicing before the Lord. You know, they cross the Red Sea, and they're on the other side, and they say, give me a beat. And they've got their praise break going, and everybody's rejoicing, and things are going good in their life. But then we find a passage a little bit later, even though they know God is still there. There's a cloud, and there's fire. He's in their night, and he's in their day. Isn't it amazing that God, I just heard this, I wish I'd thought of this. I'm not that smart. It's above my pay and pay grade. But was talking about how the first day God created, he separated the evening from the morning. And there's darkness and light in every day, all seven of your days. It's equal. You got good and you got bad. He reigns on the just and the unjust. Amen. It's how we handle the darkness that matters. Temptation doesn't come if you stay busy, but you're going to have to lay your head down. And it's in the darkness usually that you're able to sleep, and that's when you get to wonder. It doesn't matter how a man of God that had fell from the church and fell into sin, he said, I know what it's like to handle darkness. I handled it because I kept my day full, but because I failed and the shame that I had, when I go to bed at night, that's when it all comes to me. It's in that dark hour, and the enemy wants to make you think that darkness is his, but darkness and light are both God's. Your whole day is God's. It doesn't matter if you got palms or willows. It's always God's. Amen. I've come to try to help somebody today, understanding God delivers the children of Egypt, the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they know he's still there. I am flabbergasted to see and think about, if you read in the scriptures, as Moses is getting direction to what's going to happen and how to access God. Pastor, he was talking about it this morning. He goes up on the mountain. They're on the same mountain. They're just a little lower. They're still there. They see, the Bible says, they see the lightning and the thunder. They see the cloud. They see the earthquake. And they see Moses go into the cloud on the mountain. And I don't know how long it was. I didn't study it out enough. But I do know that after a little bit of time, they start questioning and wondering, well, I don't even know if Moses is coming back. They know God's still there, though. They know he's still there because they see the lightning and the thunder. I don't know if he's going to come back. They go to Aaron and say, "We need a God. You got a God." That's at the moment that he's giving them direction. You read the scriptures, passage after passage. He's telling them, "This is what you do. This is what you don't do. This is how." And he's building a relationship with them. And they're on the mountain, and they know that Moses is somewhere up there. We don't know when he's coming back. It doesn't matter if Moses is coming back. It doesn't matter if you lost some things in your life. I don't know if she's coming back. I don't know. I need my help meet. It doesn't matter if they're not ever coming back. He's still God on the mountain. The lightning is still. I'm reaching for just a few, but you got to understand something. When it comes to the body, if my toes broke, it messes with my whole body. And when I know what God has shown me that he's wanting to do for this church, and we're preparing the whole body because we're running. Amen. There's an acceleration that's happening right now. This church is about to explode. But the problem is some of you got palms, and there's others got willows. And they're looking at Aaron and saying, it's a mass exodus that God delivered them out of Egypt. God's brought you to this place. But here you are questioning and saying, well, I don't even know if God's for me and if this is happening. And they're asking this question, knowing he's still there. They see the results of it. But because there's some decrease in their life and they're thirsty and they get hungry and there's doubt and they're questioning if they want to serve this God. And the very blessings that he gave them, they give to Aaron. And he says, all of a sudden, he throws it all in the fire. And he tells Moses that, I don't know, I didn't make it, but it just came out of the fire. This cow came out. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to make a god, it's not going to be a cow. Is that as good as you can do? Well, it's shiny. And they make a god. How do you make a god? When they pull it out and they start worshiping, now they can shout and they can dance to it. You want to know why? Because it's a conditional god. It's a god that they can, that it conforms to them. That it comes out when they want it to, and it goes back when they want it to. It doesn't speak. It doesn't make demands. It doesn't test them. It just sits there being a cow. Amen. See, you know when you, man, I don't know why I'm going down this road, but you know when your pastor is really your pastor is when he tells you no. If he's always giving you palms and giving you position, oh, I love you, pastor, but let him take something from you. They say, you've had that long enough. Let's give it to him. But that's mine. All good things come from above. It's not yours. Amen. Let's give that to him. And let's run up here and let's get you. Can't run too fast. I'll be breathing like that guy was saying he did. Let's give you this. No, not you. You got palms, man. You're greedy. When this is all you got to worship God with, oh, it's easy. Whenever you got nothing but blessings in your life, but let a spouse die or let a child go wayward, can you still rejoice before the Lord, your God, 7 days? Can you still give God praise? You hear me? This is the problem. If there's one of the most major problems in ministry is you're going to have a lot of willow days. Speaking to the church today because you got to understand something. When they say the baby takes the pain away, but then that baby, our brother over here was talking about how, you know, God gave him this treasure. And he said, but there's trash that comes from the treasure too, because he said it smells. I said, God gave you treasure and trash in one package. Amen. It's still a beautiful baby. Even though sometimes you got to change a diaper. Amen. It's still a great God. Even though sometimes all you got is willow. You still owe God praise in the good times. And you owe God praise in the bad times. There's going to be times that there's going to seem like there's nobody for you. If God called you to it, I promise you, he's going to make sure he's walking with you. Yea, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He knows how to handle your darkness. Can you handle praise? I don't know about you, but I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm going to praise God in the good times, and I'm going to praise him in the bad times. When it seems that he's not there for me, I'm still going to give him praise because he inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. How do you build a God knowing? How can you turn your back on God when he's brought you this far? Hallelujah. If God gave you a dream, gave you a vision, it shall come to pass. But it's predicated upon your praise, not your position. Hey, pastor, I'm here to serve. You can take whatever you want. Amen. I'll praise God no matter what. There's some of you here today that God has put you on my mind today. I don't know you, but I know that this is directed towards you. God says, I got great things in store for you. I'm not here to embarrass you. I've come to tell you, I know you're going through some tough times. I feel it in the spirit. I know all you got, it seems, is willows in your life. But God says, you take whatever you got, whatever I've given you, and you lift it high, and you keep praising me. And I'll take your trash, and I'll take your loneliness, and I'll make you triumphant. I'll make you a champion. Somebody owes God praise in this place. God, I praise you in the good times, but I praise you in the bad times. God is testing some of you. He's put some things under you and saying, can you praise me when it's taken away from you? Will you still be able to worship when it seems like I'm not for you, when it seems like everything's against you? If you're going through a day that there's widows in your life, I promise you, it has purpose. God is not a God of decrease. He's a God of increase. And if he's taking something from you, you better be looking for something great to happen. You better be looking for a double portion. Hallelujah. You hear me? Revelation demands response. Elijah passes Elisha a mantle. He says, it's conditional. If you're there when I'm gone, if you see me when I'm gone, it's yours. Oh, the mantle fell, and he seen it, but he still had to respond to it. He had to pick the mantle up, and he had to praise God. Amen. God's put some stuff on some of you, and there's ministries and anointings that are waiting on you. I don't know about you, but I believe in more than just one anointing. I believe there's more position for you. Amen. It's not just about playing the keys. There's ministries that God's birthing through you for purpose. And the willow's not for you, but what I'm saying is, if you're just satisfied with that, that's all you're going to get. The devil is a lie. Embarrassment when it seems like nobody's for you. Hallelujah. He's targeted you today. I don't know you, sir. I don't know if I've met you before, but I don't know you, and I don't know what you've been through, but God says, don't you lose hope, because on the other side of it is that. You hear me. You're hearing me. You're hearing me. But God says, you were put in a position for purpose. And I had to ask the pastor's wife who you were, because I felt it in the prayer room, and I felt it this morning. And you felt it. And you know where you're at. But God says, you have no idea what I'm wanting to do through you. But he challenges you today. He says, it doesn't matter where you're at in position. You better learn to praise me in the palms, and you better learn to praise me in your willows. You better in your good times that I give you, and in your bad times. It's not predicated upon what's taken from you. It's predicated upon who he is. And he's a God on the mountain, but he's bringing deliverance to the valley. He's bringing deliverance and direction to you. He's going to speak to you. But if you don't have praise, if you're not able to rejoice in the good times and the bad times. Hallelujah. If you knew the story of ministries and where they come from and how they were birthed. It wasn't birthed in something because it was all palms and willows. It's very rare you'll see God use somebody of great magnitude and everything's, they've never had a willow in their life. No, there's a testing ground for God. I preached here before about an identity crisis, understanding you accept the role. And you, pastor was talking about it today about being used. God says, I'll use you. But you got to still be able to worship me in the good times and the bad times. Somebody was just speaking over here about some things that, it's a sister over here, one of my pastor friends up in Chicago. He lost his wife. He's lost his mother. He lost his dad. He lost all of them within just a few years. He just lost his mother and his wife, and they were not at an age that they should be gone. Amen. I preached a revival for him when his wife found out she had cancer. And the great revival came out of it because he was still able to worship God when all he had was a stick. It didn't have any produce on it, but he was still able. And people seen his faith in God. God took her, but he's still praising God. Then he took his mother, but he's still praising God. He still declared, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Amen. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But if everybody leaves me, it doesn't matter. I serve God. Come on, Job. Come on, Job. What do you want God to fix in your life? The blessings you already have or the things you don't have? I want him to fix the willows in my life. And when David's bringing the power back, he just keeps worshiping. He keeps praising God. When somebody questions it, "You really don't, what are you doing? You look foolish." He said, "You think I look foolish now? I'm going to get more vile than this." Amen. You haven't seen praise yet. Amen. Has your best praise been when it's a willow in your life or when it's a palm in your life? See, we've got it backwards, folks. I had another message, I promise you. I don't want to be guilty of trying to create another God because the God I've served, it seems like he's not answering on my time. And he's not providing on my time. Moses is coming down from the mountain, and he has divine direction from God. Your pastor's coming down from the mountain. Hear me, ministers. You've been in this place long enough, but you've got to learn to praise God on this side of it. Got to learn to sacrifice on this side of it. We look at Joshua and Caleb, how they got over, and we like that story. But I don't want to wait till everybody dies to get over. I don't want to wait till God weeds out the ones that don't have belief and they're wanting to build their own God. I believe God's a transforming God. He's doing a great work in this hour. Like, it's unprecedented. I know you keep hearing me say that, but I promise you. But you got to respond to the revelation of it. Are you going to say, "No, I'm just doing good and everything's good"? No. Why are they praising God? He lost his job. That's why he's praising God. He seems to be praising God. How could he praise God more when he's got less? You just talked about it. I go to the Philippines, and man, you just say Jesus, and they go crazy. People are healed just speaking the name of Jesus because they know. They don't have much to praise God for. And they found a Jesus to praise God. They praise him for everything because he is their everything. Come on up here. You're in ministry. God giving you vision. You got dreams. He giving you direction. Are you there? Then give me that. Has there been some things taken from you? God, I'm not saying somebody took them from you, but you've lost some things. Amen. You see where you're holding it? You hear me? Timing is everything, and it's time. Amen. God don't mess up. You know how many ministers and preachers that are sitting on the sidelines because that's what they got? They're in corners. Got to be a fight in your spirit. He tells Timothy, stir up the gift in you. Amen. You keep praising God through it. Nobody's told me anything. I don't know anything about you. But you, I know I'm on. I don't question when God speaks into my spirit and when I see it in your spirit. You say, why you put me on blast in front of everybody? Amen. They need somebody to lead them. If the ministry can't lead God, lead the people in praise, who's going to lead them? If you're expecting the people to praise when you're preaching, you better be praising when somebody else is preaching. You want to tell people that they're going through troubles and you want them to lift a willow in their life? You better lift a willow in your life and you better lift it high and you better be able to praise God. Come on, that's it.
There's a transformation happening.
Come on, Abram. Can you worship when I take the blessing away? Oh, my. Jesus' name. Come on, we've tapped into something right here, I promise you. Oh, I promise you, the church was at a high right now. You just came through the Red Sea this morning. You were shouting this morning. But there's a journey ahead of us. What God is, the prophetic word that God has spoken to this church, the pastor cannot do it just with his organizational skills. He's got to have hands. He's got to have feet. He's got to have people that are willing to submit. Whatever he's asking of them, financially, physically, spiritually, what God is about to do, you got to be equipped for. You will not make it till the end unless you can take your palms and you can take your willows and you can rejoice before the Lord today.
He says, you've hung your harp on the willow, ma'am. And now they're singing a song in a strange land. You don't have anything to worship for. You put your praise aside. You put your worship aside. And here you are. You're just going through the motions. And you don't even know you're not moving.
Oh, God's on your mountain. God's in your life. God is for you. He's not against you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's there until the end. And as long as you got breath in your body, hallelujah, and as long as you can lift up what you got left, as long as you can still worship your God, you're going to have something to rejoice for tomorrow. And you're going to have something to rejoice for the next day. And he's not just a Sunday God. He's a Monday God. He's a Tuesday God. There is a promised land. There is a dream that comes to realities. What God has put in you, He will perform it till the end. And it's not over until you reach it.
Ikotomosikiata. Hallelujah. You know who you are. Hallelujah. There's some willows up here. Somebody needs to grab some and you need to praise God. You know who you are. I speak with the utmost confidence, knowing that God is speaking to you. Hallelujah. Oh, it's easy to praise God when everything's going good. But when somebody just walks out on you and it seems like there's nobody there for you, can you still lift up a willow and say, God, I still praise you when everybody knows what you did? Maybe it was warranted or it was unwarranted. It doesn't matter. Can you still praise God? That's what God wants to know, Job. Can you still praise me? Can you still worship me? If I take it from you, it has purpose. I'm looking for somebody that will still praise me. That's it. I take it right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. It's being taken.